This is an opera about a town that changes its name.
This is kind of my baby. This was my, basically my idea. I was born and raised in Ladysmith, and so I was kind of the genesis of the project from beginning.
Hey, Brad!
Look at all of you!
Look at you!
Yes, you do.
You might not want that.
My name is Brad Bradshaw, and I'm the executive director.
Oh, I was supposed to... Legally, I'm supposed to go over the main points of your contract, but you all can read, so you know. Okay.
I think, yeah, it was so I'm sorry.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. I feel like, what was her name? Ursula in The Little Mermaid? Now I will have your voice. Okay. As an opera singer.
I'm hoping some lyrics come out by the
Well, if you go about 100 years back, Ladysmith was went through a name change. It was first Flambeau Falls, and then it was Corbett for a while, and then Warner. And then around the 1900s, right around the turn of the century, in order to ingratiate itself with Charles Smith, who was building lumber plants in Wisconsin, they decided to name it in honor of his new bride, Isabel Smith. So fast forward about 100 years, in 1985, when I was just a wee little lad, I was in junior high school, and Ladysmith was celebrating its 100th centennial. And my dad brought home, and I remember it very specifically, it was a blue book with gold gilding on it, and it was Ladysmith lore. And so I started thumbing through the pages and discovered this story. So the project started out with me composing, and I just thought, this idea is too big for just me as an amateur composer. So we brought on Christopher Gable, and knew he had a great sense of humor and was a wonderful colleague. You know, not just a wonderful musician and composer. I mean, that's granted. You know, that's, you know, priority number one. When I approached Chris, he started talking about, well, my wife Mary has written a few librettos, and I'm like, good, two for one special. So, because actually, I'd say 99.9% of everyone involved in this project is a product of the University of Minnesota.
I'm Mary Kirby, and I'm the librettist for the Ladysmith story. The libretto came together towards the end of 2008, early 2009, and then I handed the words on to Chris to start the music. It's a lot like a script of a play, so it's sort of a strange hybrid between poetry and dramatic writing. A lot of times in poetry, you can get by on just beautiful words and image and conveying emotions. But for an opera, you really also have to have a story that people want to hear. The thinking of the characters, that's definitely a space where you also want to leave room for music, because the composer will then come along and think of motifs that go with each character, or a quality of melody or an instrument. So then I see my job as providing the building blocks for that. We did use some historical people in here, and then some invented historical people. The main characters are really the invented ones, Will and Lucy and Tom, who to me really sort of symbolize or encapsulate different currents in that time in America. I hope this opera has good legs, and I wanted to give it a story that would give it those legs too, because I think that if more people knew that there was new American operas, that they were a vital part of the artistic fabric of our country, that they would want to see them.
I'm Chris Gable, and I'm the composer of the Ladysmith story. It usually starts with the words. I kind of run them through my head and say them over and over again, and then eventually a tune will come out of that. And often at the piano, I'll just kind of play around and improvise. And I could also kind of start to hear music coming out of the page, really.
What's the song that, and what's the melody that's going to stick in people's head as they leave the performance?
Probably the We're Ladysmith Now song. And it goes, we're venison roasts and new potatoes. We're not just pine trees and stumps. And so on. But it's...
Once you hear it, it's hard to forget. I sometimes find it... It'll pop up in my head while I'm doing something else. And I don't usually think about venison roast that much, but now I do quite often.
Yeah. Well, you wrote the words, honey.
We're ladies.
My name is Chris Ann Weiss, and I'm playing the role of Lucy Peters, who is the lead role in this opera. This is all set against the backdrop of Lucy having to decide whether she's going to leave the town with her boyfriend, who is anxious about what the boom in industry will mean to the town, and whether she's going to stay and see what will happen to her own life. So that's kind of the central struggle for her. And then this other interloper guy comes in, big city guy with lots of fancy talk, and she likes him too. So
you're coming in a beat late on It Can Be.
To be late.
Yeah. So you're going 1, 2, it is 1, 2, it can be, which fits.
But it's wrong.
But it's there's one less quarter in there. 1, 2, it is it can be.
Okay.
I mean it fits, so if you screw it up it's not a huge deal, but
that's not what
that is true. And the composer's living, and he can come after you.
What's your name?
Bill Murray, like the comedian.
Bill, if you can...
No, I work for the Minnesota Opera. For me, I gave up singing a while ago, but because Bradshaw asked me to be in the production, and he's a good friend, I said yes. I'm Will, the guy who gets dumped, who can't change, who refuses to change. Yeah, I go out west. That's what I sing a lot. Yeah. Let's go west.
Yeah, just anticipate just a little bit on that first entrance or two.
So the tenor role is played by Rob Askloff, wonderful singer we brought on, and he plays the role of Tom Maxwell, who's kind of Lucy Peters, the lead mezzo, played by Chris Ann Weiss, her love interest in the story. So I don't want to give it away because I want people to see it. He's kind of this kind of flirty, kind of debonair kind of guy who kind of just sweeps Lucy off her feet and really wins her over.
Excuse me, fellas, I've got more interviews to conduct. Excuse me, miss, my is Tom Maxwell.
Oh, yes, the newspaper man. I'm Lucy Peters.
I wondered if I could ask you some questions, Miss Peters. I'm writing about your town and what people think about the name change.
It's very romantic. I've heard that Lady Smith is very beautiful. Have you seen her?
Just pictures. I've seen lovelier right here in your town.
I've heard she has a very grand house, 144 windows, 10 entrances, and a huge
doing. I was just interviewing this. You're helping them move the village, bring in city folk who would know what they're doing. They'll ruin everything. They'll pack our streets with their fancy carriages. They'll buy up our land with their
Will is a young man who has grown up on a farm in Ladysmith, formerly Warner, formerly Corbett, formerly Flambeau Falls. And to me, he is the person who wants to build his own place and have his own place and his own space. And he really wants to have ownership of it and not have people coming in from outside, as he would think of it, and then saying that they built it. He also has that very individualistic explorer streak where he would love to strike out on his own into the West and see what he can do. Then there's Lucy. She and Will are not necessarily officially engaged, but everybody in the town would assume that they would be soon.
Many people are in the position of deciding if the person that they're with is the person that they need to be with for the rest of their life. You know, I feel like those are some of the strongest moments in the show, because we see this relationship she has that is healthy and strong. It's just not the right relationship for her. So she has to make an excruciating decision. And she chooses this new man that she doesn't know very well. And, you know, we don't know if it's going to work out in the end, but she does decide to make a choice that's a little scary, that she's taking a risk. And I can really identify with the feelings of, should I take a risk, should I not? I am Kristen Kenning, and I'm the director of The Ladysmith Story. Most of my theatrical musical experience is as a performer, and it was just 4 or 5 years ago that I started thinking, you know, I'd really like to direct. I'd really like to shape a whole show. Well, the opportunity to direct any opera, I mean, I'm really up for. But this is especially interesting because it's new. I mean, Chris wrote it for this community. I get to stage a new piece of work, and it's opera. I'm very lucky. Yeah. The one that probably I find myself singing the most is probably not one of the ones the audience will sing. It's a duet in 7/8 time signature that took a lot of work for the actors to get on their voices, on their bodies, and then get on stage. So we rehearsed it so often, and I know their parts so well that, you know, I'll be chewing my cereal in the morning, and I'll be chewing to, you know, some 7/8 pattern. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to turn on the radio and get something else in my head for a little while. But 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Lucy, I'm leaving this town. I can't do it and sing at the same time. This is their problem, too, because they're trying to count, come in on time, sing, and act. Honestly, for the difficulty of that scene, they got it now. Yeah, so they put in the work, and it looks great.
Lucy, I'm leaving this town. I can't stay and watch it overrun with city folk. With me, we can go further west. Where a man can still make an honest life.
Oh, I'm Kelsey Glaisner, costume designer. What size shirt do you grab off the rack at the store?
16 and a half, 36, 37.
Okay, great. And then...
Or a large, tall.
Large, tall, great. And then pant size you'd grab off the rack?
36, 34.
Great. Just gives us a good starting point. Yeah. Shoe size?
11 and a half, medium.
11 and a half, medium. Great. Any allergies to metals,
no.
Fabrics,
no.
Wool,
no.
Detergents, Febreze?
None.
Okay.
One thing
great.
I'm allergic
just
to
checking.
Is cashews, so you keep those out of my pockets, we'll be all right.
Okay, excellent. Great. I think that's all I needed.
Great, thank you.
Thank
nice
you.
To meet you.
Yes, good to meet you, and we'll be fittings in like a week.
Great.
So. Quick turnaround on this one.
North Lark.
Oh my gosh. Right now I'm just trying to make sure we don't have naked people on stage. But yes, there'll
be
many opportunities to accessorize down the line. But yes, there should be hats. Be about the nudist colony of ladies. No. Don't think they want to tell that story.
Okay. That could be intriguing.
Opera worthy.
Yeah,
maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Only if the soprano dies, right?
There's this great interchange between Minneapolis and Ladysmith as, you know, we start going over there and some people are coming over here, and then we'll pack up the show, chorus and all, and we all move over here like, you know, like a bad Muppet movie. We're just, you know, doing a show, going on the road and going to Minneapolis. I tell people in Minneapolis, you know, who are part of very prestigious arts organizations here, and they just look at me like, what in the world are you doing, Brad Bradshaw? And I'm like, we're doing art, and, you know, it's connected to the community, and people love it, and it's really happening. This isn't just, you know, fundraising spiel. This is actually happening. So, and there's been a few people have been like, opera, you know, big ladies singing high notes and metal brassieres and stuff like that with horns on their head, you know. So we're hoping that the reaction will, people be like, wow, opera's about me and you. It's about us. And that's part of the reason why we're doing this too, is that American opera, for it to be truly successful, has to be relevant and tell the stories that, you know, resonate inside of us.
I think it's going to be extremely well received. You know, always when you put opera on the title of anything, it causes probably some members of the community to say, I don't know if I want to go see an opera. You know, we considered calling it a musical project, using words that seemed more comforting or familiar. But honestly, you know, we're going to sell out all of our houses, I'm sure of it.
We'd love to hear of how they logged some 40 years ago, and Zach. Some people claim that we're advanced, but that may not be so. We'll just kind of do a funny little duet thing. Then Chris, for one man then did more than 10 men in the woods today. Zach, and what we take for trainloads now, they hauled up on a slave.
Hey.
Yeah, so it'll be a G. I'm in the wrong key. Yep. All right, let's just sing it once, then we're going to dance, then we're going to do the whole thing.
My name is Gary Hesmovich, and I am Lumberjack 3 in the Ladysmith story. I originally come from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin, and Weyerhaeuser is approximately 16 miles away from Ladysmith. They had auditions, and they were looking for people who were interested that had some musical talent. We love to hear of how they logged some 40 years ago. Some people claim that we're advanced, but that may not be so. For one man then did more than 10 men in the woods today. And what we take for trainloads now, they hauled upon a sleigh. Oh, we've been working on the music now for the past 6 weeks, and we have another month to go to put all the choreography together. So there's a lot of time and dedication by everyone involved.
One, two, up, 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 up.
My name is Julian Ward, and I guess if I had to describe my role, it would be rehearsal accompanist, and I guess I will also be playing in the orchestra as well when we get to that point.
It's a chamber opera, which means that it's not a grand opera. It doesn't have a full orchestra backing the singers. It's just a very small ensemble of six musicians, and so it'll be flute, clarinet, violin, cello, piano, and percussion, and a conductor, of course. But you know, because you can get a lot of different colors with it, and it's very flexible, and it's a nice mix of winds and strings and percussive sounds too.
Yeah, all the rehearsal stuff is from just the piano vocal score, which is what the singers want to practice with. Yeah, the piano vocal score is sort of like a pen and ink sketch, and then when you hear it with the orchestra, it's sort of like you need to see what the real painting looks like.
You know, they have this concept called filling the hall, and it is a kind of a physical phenomenon where you sing loud enough that it really does kind of, it starts to resonate back at you, and you know, with a good singer, it can sound really, really fabulous.
You know, I hear my colleagues, and who some of our very close personal friends, and I hear them get up and sing this beautiful music, and I'm so grateful that I have been able to provide an opportunity for artists to make art. And that, I think, is one of the most profound things anyone can do in life, is to provide that kind of opportunity. Because it changes the world. You know, don't let any critic, any cynic tell you differently. Art matters.
Doctors, we're